me, before we begin this week's shortwave and scanning listeners net, we'll take a moment to allow anyone to pass me last minute traffic. Okay, nothing here. Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the weekly shortwave and scanning listeners net. My name is Bob, call WA2FCQ, and I'll be the net control this evening for the net. I got a call from caller that he's not going to be able to make it. You who are new to the net, listening in for the first time, the net is a weekly discussion of the radio listening hobby. We discuss all topics, whether it's shortwave listening, scanner listening, any frequency from DC3 light, with the exception of amateur radio, which we can discuss at any time. Throughout the net, I'll also be checking our email address, which is nydxa@yahoo.com. For those of you who are not able to check in, either because you cannot hit the receiver or because you don't have a license, if you have anything to share with the net, any items that you'd like to mention net as well, any topics you'd like to share, please drop me an email and I'll do my best to get to those during the net and introduce them here for you. For checking in this evening, I'd like you to please give your name and your location, whether or not you have traffic. By traffic, I mean if you have anything that you would like to share. If you don't, you can just indicate that you're just checking in, just monitoring. Please space it out so that you do not step on each other. With that, we'll begin. WA2FCQ.
KA2UIJ. No traffic.
Columbia 3 FL at Orange City,
Florida.
No traffic.
This is 2 LMH, Jim in Astoria with traffic. Good evening.
2 NPU, Gary, New York. Manhattan, no traffic.
And 2 RBM, Rod, Elmwood Park, no traffic.
Peter, WBQSTD. Hello! Traffic, Manhattan.
DC2, JRH, Anthony in Brooklyn. No traffic.
W2, Oscar Victor Quebec. Robert Spong, no traffic.
So far I have K2UIJ, W3FL in Florida. That's a new one. Welcome to the net. KC2LMH with traffic. KC2MBU and 2RBM. WB2FCC with traffic. KC2JRH with traffic. And W2OVQ, I believe it was, with no traffic. Anyone else? We'll go with that list, and fortunately we've got 3 people with traffic. I have to apologize. I got a call not that long ago from Charlie, so I did not come there with too much information here for the net, but usually when we get a few people with traffic, that kind of branches out to other topics, and we'll have some other people. So hopefully we'll have enough to keep the net going for the hour or so that it usually goes. With that, Jim, over to you, KC2LMH, WA2FQQ. Go ahead.
WA2FQQ, KC2LMH returning. Hey, Bob, and everyone else on the net. My traffic really right now tonight is I bought myself a BC396T, the Contractor 4. It's just a real honey of a radio. It's going to take a little bit of a learning curve to program it. I got it from Scanner Master and came with software, and I'm just having a lot of fun with it and hope to get at least a few months of use, if not years, out of it and really change everything on it. So if anyone else out there has one, be interested to see what you have to say about it. So with that, I'll throw it back to Bob, WA2SBQ, and the group. This is KT2LMH.
Good. Which cell phone did you get? The B-South?
No, it's the ARC 396 Pro. They, at Scanamaster, they had a sort of a package that came with that software, a nylon carrying case, I mean, a, you know, belt case. What else did it come with? Police call, which is kind of getting old, actually. And there was one other thing that I can't remember, but so it was not the Univin software.
Okay, no, actually, Univin software is free. The Utel software is the ARC software, so you actually got the better software, in my opinion. The reason I ask is, in this software I'll send to anyone, Charlie and I are going to post all the files up on the website. Find the time to do it. His schedule, my schedule have been completely out of sync, and we're both running at 110% duty cycle. But I have quite a few files that I've put together for New Jersey State Police. What do I have? I'm trying to think. I think I have Do It. I have a lot of the you know, municipalities in New Jersey, all the Coast Guard stuff, a lot of railroad stuff, probably. I'm guessing maybe 10 or 15 files I've created in that format. If you or anybody else would like those, drop an email to the net and I will email them out. They're not large files. You can read them with that software and, you know, if you want to edit them or whatever, but the idea is it'll save you a lot of programming. And also there's a confusion factor, a learning curve when you first get the radio, so this would certainly help you there. Hang on one second. Again, just drop an email to nydxa@yahoo.com, and we'll be happy to get that out to you. And also, if I can answer any questions. I don't know the 396. I do have a 996, 796, 785, and the software operation is pretty similar, so perhaps I can answer some questions that you have. Anyway, that's that offer, and it's a standing offer until we can get that published on the website, Chad.
Okay, Bob, well, I appreciate that. I did register the Butel, and I didn't realize you were asking me if it was Butel, but yeah, and I registered that. I'm also registered with Radio Reference, and I was able to go to that website, which, of course, gets its Do-It system from you guys, and just dumped the whole thing right onto the radio. It was simple as it could be, and I'm going to do the same thing for all the other areas of the country that I visit when I visit friends and family and stuff. And it is good software. I have ARC Utel for my BC780, and I've been happy with it. Back to you, WA2SPQ in the group. This is KT2LMH.
Thanks. Very good. Yeah, the only reason I mentioned it was is that you can get a lot of the lists up there. I'm not sure. Are you out in New York or you're in New Jersey? I'm not sure where you're located.
I'm in Astoria, Queens.
Well, the only reason I asked is what I actually did was I took a 25-mile radius from the center of Bergen County and basically have one file with everything in there. And the way I created it was all the fire. I put actually the county in one group, all the fire in another, all the police in the other. And it's not just their main frequency. They actually, you know, I've got a lot of stuff that maybe wasn't published and the fire ground frequency. So, you know, for any given town, it could be between police and fire, 6 or 8 different frequencies. You're not going to find that kind of stuff on Radio Reference, typically. Where there are lists, they give, you know, the main 1 or 2 frequencies for each town, and that's it. So the reason that I did mention it is that if somebody is particularly in New Jersey, the file will save you a lot of work I've been working on that file for probably 3 years, you know, adding to it and changing it and so on and changing the PLs. So there's a lot of research that went into it, and I'm more than happy to share that with anybody who wants it. Anyway, enjoy it. I think you'll like the radio. I love my 996, and I'm actually considering buying a second one. I'm considering buying a new vehicle, and it has the ability to set a doubled in their radio in there. So theoretically, I could take a 996 and slide it right into the dashboard and make a really neat installation. It's something I'm considering. But 996 is probably one of the best cameras I've ever had. My old Pro 2006 is tight as can be, but the 996, I mean, I have it on some really high-gain antennas and absolutely no inner mud. It's just an incredible radio. So I like it very, very much. I hope you like your 396 half as much. Anyway, we'll go down the list. I want to acknowledge W3FL in Florida. He did not mention yet traffic, but anyway, yeah, you might want to tell us where you're located and how you found out about the net and so on. My name is Bob, by the way. W-A-2-S-T-Q. Go ahead.
Hey, okay, Bob. Very good. Name here is Mark, and I'm located halfway between Orlando and Daytona Beach in a place called Orange City. Straight off the interstate there, I-4. About 28 miles from the AES in Orlando, if anybody knows that. And I'm an IRLP, and I'm connected up to this reflector all the time, the same as you guys are, so therefore I'm always monitoring this frequency. And that's about it from here. Like I said, the name is Marsh, and we're originally from Buffalo, New York, and we've been out here for about 15 years, and going to be staying here. Temperature right now is about 73 degrees, and it's a real nice spring evening. This is W3FL in Orange City, Florida.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the net. And I did want to point out one thing that would probably be of interest to you and perhaps some of the other people on the net here. One of the other stations that checked in into RVM, Rod is actively part of a website called melsgarage.com. And if you go on there, there are several live scanner feeds from the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area that you can listen to. You know what? I think Rod's in here. You want to mention what's on there, Rod, into RVM, WHRCQ?
Yeah, Bob, this is
okay, you probably stepped away. Anyway, if you go to www.melsgarage.com and you look on there, you'll see several links. You use a program like Winamp, which you can download for free, and he's got live scanner feeds. I know he's got Miami in there, he's got Fort Lauderdale, he's got, I believe, Dade County. He's got a lot of the federal stuff live on there. There's quite a few feeds on it. So it's actually run remotely from up here in New Jersey, but the receivers are all strategically located down in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. And that's constantly expanding, so you might want to check that out. Interesting site. Next one on the list. WB2STT. Good evening. How are you?
Thank you, Bob. Working hard. Since this is an NYDXA, I want to mention my interest in Advanced Television Selection Committee. I lost my little handheld TV at Gordon's, and I'm going to date, and I want to replace it. There are no ATSC handhelds available. So, we'll see what happens with that. The stores have ATSC TV sets that'll still get your own TV about $140.
You want a portable TV that will receive the new digital broadcast? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, a handheld, but they don't exist.
You know what? Let me do some checking for you tomorrow at work. I know we're not making them, but I might be able to find out who is, because I have seen some write-ups on that. Was it Casio or somebody? But let me, I'll send myself an email, and I'll see if I can find something for you tomorrow. At least point you in the right direction.
Now, I went on Casio's website. They don't have them. Since I lost the TV, well, I found it, but I got a rubber, ruggedized, water-resistant NTSC portable for my discount to Amazon.com for $60. So, hey, it'll be good for you.
I bet it will. Okay. So how you been otherwise? And what's new? I apologize for not being on the net last week, but it's you got to prioritize, you know. Work pays the bills, if you know what I mean.
Hey, I know it. Believe me. I got mandatory overtime. I'm going to Dayton. I have a tent. I have a generator, I have a cot, a refrigerator, and I want to attend all of the seminars that I can attend, from shortwave listening to AM radio, low frequency, and whatever. A long time. There's a lot of good shortwave DX programs.
I got a question for you and a request. You got a digital camera?
Absolutely, sir.
When you go out there, can you take a lot of pictures of some interesting things and, you know, and maybe get us some pictures? I thought it might be neat, not only for the newsletter, but maybe on the website. A lot of us have gone to Dayton, you know, many, many times, but there's a lot of people that wonder what it's all about. I thought it might be neat to make a slideshow or something like that. So if you wouldn't mind, while you're walking around the flea market, if you see any interesting items, if you can get some shots of the flea market, and, you know, just do a whole little expose on it, and maybe we could share that with people.
No problem. You may just have to teach me how to download the pictures to whatever you want to
do. I can set that up. There's no problem. Very simple. I have an FTP server. I could just send you a link, and all you have to do is just click on the link. It'll open up your browser. You just drag the pictures right in. So that's easy once you get them. But I think that'd be kind of neat. You know, seeing vintage scanners out there in the flea market, or there's all kind of things. I mean, I could tell you so many Dayton stories that you know, you fall asleep. But if you've never gone out there, it's an experience. I haven't been out there in quite a few years, I have to confess. But what I do know is that it's just not as big as it used to be. We used to drive out there. We used to arrive on Thursday night. On Friday, we would go and do all the exhibits inside, and spend a full, you know, there was a full day Friday. And then on Saturday morning, we would get up at O'Dark 100 and get out there literally when it was dark. So from about 5:30 in the morning until your feet could no more, which is normally about 5 or 6 o'clock at night, we would be walking the flea market. And if you were really good and you were really efficient, you might get through the flea market once. That's how big it was. But from what I understand now, it's not as big as it used to be.
I did the trip 21 years ago. Fly out here. With the weather and the headwinds, they drove.
from my mom was this. And my mom was ill. I got a choice. I got a sleep or something. Generator. I got a KOA. Tent site. I'll be camp with the guide from the 40 meter rack tours club and the 160 meter what 1721 group and transit. So toughest part is to drive down by myself in the back. But I've done it.
Okay, make sure you include a few pictures of yourself. You know, maybe have an 807 there sitting on the side or whatever. But that's good, Peter. That's good. Thank you for agreeing to do that. Okay, next one on the list, and then we'll take this one and we'll take another round of checking. Next one on the list would be KC2JRH. I missed your name, so if you can pass that along again for the benefit of those who might have also missed it. WA2S2J.
KC2JRH, this is Anthony from Brooklyn. I just have two things. Last night I picked up a number station, a spy number station, but instead of sending numbers, they were sending five-letter groups, which is kind of interesting. And also tonight I also picked up a five-letter group in CW. I like monitoring utilities like that. Thank you.
Do you know what those number and letter stations are actually for?
That is correct.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Peter might be before you start talking. No, I was asking, do you know what their purpose is for?
Supposedly these stations have been on about, since I've been 10 years old, they've been on more than 40 years. And supposedly they're member stations that they think they don't know who uses them. They think that they're actual secret agents to send messages to other agents in the field, or they might be drug cartels. There's a lot of speculation for what they are. There's a lot of information on the internet about these spy stations or member stations.
I don't know. The reason I say that is I was actually reading quite a few articles about them over the years, and I know our State Department uses it, the Israeli government, and so on. And basically what the consensus is that there might be some information that's being conveyed, but the different government departments have these stations on the air, in some cases 24 hours a day, more as a beacon. In other words, so that they know at any given point in time what the propagation is between, you know, wherever the station is and whoever they're communicating with. So they can actually sit there and listen to these stations, and at certain times of the day, obviously certain frequencies are going to provide better communications than the others. Whether or not that there is information encoded in there, I would suspect there is, but the general feeling is that there are more propagation beacons than anything.
WB2SDP.
Peter, good.
I worked in HF engineering years ago. Here's a good one for you. Single letter broadcasting. These are stations that are used for aeronautical identification and direction. Someone sat there and listened to them very carefully, using multiple receivers, five SLBs, five frequencies. There are five bits to a reading signal.
Okay, forgive me, I'm missing something. What's the point?
was assembled was that listening to the 5 SLB on 5 frequencies. The 5 receivers assembled a 5-level gritty signal. Nobody knew it was there. Of course, this is before computers and microprocessors and PCs and all this great stuff we have now. But there were secret messages going out on Riddy. Damn, I'm old.
So, yeah, I do. You know, over the years, there's been a lot of information. I know I was reading an article during the war that I think it was the BBC was actually sending some kind of data for the military, and it was being somehow encoded or sent via music, you know, musical notes or something like that. I forget. It's going back many, many years, but I guess we're all getting old, Peter. I don't know. My first radio, my first shortwave receiver was a Hallicrafters S120 that was bought new. I mean, I've had older receivers, but that was the first one that I got for Christmas. I guess I was about, I don't know, maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, and it was really kind of neat. I remember I used to listen to the BBC every night and listen to Big Ben ringing there. So, yep, it's kind of interesting if you think back on all the things that you have heard on the airwaves.
Okay. Okay,
the station there, you're kind of noisy. Okay, it's 9:27. We'll take another round of check-ins. Let's see what we can come up with. You know what? Let me pass the traffic for the moment over here. I'm not sure if Charlie did previously, but this has to do with New York City was monitoring the United Nations in and around that area.
Ready machine. They have a temperament motor and a pen. And involved during World War II. So it's out there, and I'm not a big SWC expert, but you know, I'm constantly looking at this stuff. I work on voice encryption for shortwave, and it was 4-band version. Not band. You could do better with digital today.
We doubled for a moment with beating your transmission. There's been a lot of things. I mean, frequency hopping has been used on shortwave. There was a point in my radio listening days where I used to use a dedicated, I forget who made it now. Company, oh, I know, it was made by Hal. It was a dedicated box for CW and RIDI and, you know, all the different modes. And there's a lot of communications out there, but what I found is that with all the digital modes, you know, the RIDI modes, the teletype, there's so many different modes that I've never really come across any software or hardware that can reliably identify them and decode them. You've got to sit there for 15 minutes trying to figure out what mode it is and what the shift is and so on. And then, you know, when you think you're locked on, you're looking at it, it looks like it's printing out Hebrew or something. So there's a lot out there to be had, but trying to figure out what modes it is a real challenge. Have you ever played with that?
Yeah, I haven't applied any of my computer to this stuff. Years ago, I was the phase lap loop decoder for DC reboot. And, you know, if you lost something, if you lost characters, encoding, the freaking thing would print out
I had tape all over the floor with stuff. You know what I was picking up? I was picking up weather reports. They weren't 5 feet 5 messages. They were 5 digit encoding for International Maritime Weather Report.
You can actually get the HFX, and there's a number of ways to do it where you can download the weather maps and the Antarctic ice flow charts. They're down on 3 meg and up at 14 meg, and they're actually very easy. Simple interfaces with your PC using your sound card. You can do you know, weather map line charts.
Nowadays, but think about 20 years ago.
For what? I was doing it longer than that. I'm gonna really date myself now, but quite a few years ago, myself and there was about a half a dozen of us in the Bergen County area. There was a guy years ago at Western Jersey, W2DLT, his name was Van. And he had kind of a surplus electronic place, and he was selling Western Union desk fax machines. Now, this is before facsimile existed the way we know it today. What it was a machine that had, I don't know, a half a dozen tubes in it. It had an aluminum cylinder. And what you would do is you would put a piece of paper on this cylinder, and there was a spring that would hold it in place. Now, the spring, the cylinder would rotate, and then there was a stylus that would move from left to right and touch this paper. It would pass an electric current through it, and it would literally, it was an arc, so it would burn the paper, and the darker the image, the hotter the spark would be. Now, this paper had a smell of almost like firecrackers, or like, if you remember the old cap guns, you had when you were a kid? So you'd have this thing spinning, and it would be sitting there with this little arc burning this image. And in the meantime, it smelled like the house was half on fire. And I remember I had it in the basement, and my mother was yelling, so what I actually had was a fan over it that would suck the air out and push it out the window to get the smell out of there. But we used to send facsimile pictures over 2-meter AM before there were even repeaters. That same machine, you could receive the weather satellite, weather charts off of HF. So the idea of a fax machine and facsimile and receiving this stuff off the air is not new. I mean, I'm talking, 1972, 1973 that we were doing this. So there's nothing new to this.
Back you up. You know what? One of those units was sent to me at RCA and Western University. The paper was electrolytic. It wasn't ordinary paper. As far as some of the fax services were concerned, the problem was changing the speed and synchronization of the motor. Yeah, I had one of those, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. RC Institute, huh? Do you remember John Felice?
Now, that name doesn't ring a bell, but the outfit that you're talking about sold teletype equipment, if I remember correctly.
No, when you mentioned the school, I knew a few teachers that left there. There's another guy, Mark, I can't think of his last name, but they were him. Okay, let's take a standby and see if we have any more check-ins here at 934. This is WHSQQ. We'll take another round of check-ins.
This is the Einstein Gubbins. more important ones and you get no water prices for. I'm working if I can get them off me ASAP.
I didn't quite get the question, Justin, but noted that you guys check in, we'll question, we'll get back to you. Any other check-ins? Justin, we'll get to you in just 1 second. I wanted to pass along this. Regarding the United Nations, we had somebody who passed along some recently confirmed active frequency for the United Nations. You might want to make note of this. The United Nations Security, their main channel, is running APCO 25 on 164.8875. It is running encrypted some of the time, but there are some transmissions in there that are in the clear on APCO 25. So again, 164.8875. So similar traffic on 166.38. So you might want to look in there. 406.1125 analog transmissions unknown. They're coming from the building, but 406.1125 and on 164.200. Also some quote interesting communications. Just leave it at that. Also, building contractors that are working in and around the UN should be using one common frequency, 463.925. The person who sent this identifies them as DEM Construction. But no license listing to them, just the confirmed frequency again, 463.925. Justin, you had a question, and I'm sorry if you could just get up on the mic a little bit, so I could find out what that was about. You said something about HF, but I missed it, so try it again.
Yeah, Mama, I was just curious, what was that frequency for the water plant? You said it was down around 14 megahertz.
Actually, from where we are, you're better off with the 3 megs. It was right around 3330 maybe. Somewhere right around the CHU Canada, around 3.3, 3.4. You can't miss it. It's a very strong signal. If you just tune across, you'll hear the signal, and it's about 40/9. I'll see if I can find the exact frequency. It's been quite a while since I've listened to it. But it's out of Portsmouth, Virginia. So if you just do a search on Google for weather maps in Portsmouth, Virginia, I'm sure you'll come up with the frequency. Well, I'll try to get the frequency and forward it. Let's see, what else? Actually, I'm just trying to, not really much else to add here. As I say, Charlie gave me a call and said he wasn't going to be able to make it because I grabbed the net, so I didn't bring too much with it, but considering it's 9:40, I think we did pretty good. I'll listen one last time around in case anybody has any other questions or any check-ins or something, and if not, then we'll close the net for the season.
Yes. That MelsGarage.com, those live feeds are interesting. I was listening to a 305 apartment feed, and I noticed there's like a 6-second delay because I was listening on my scanner, and then I was picking it up later on the computer. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. That's basically just network latency. It's received live, it has to be converted, it goes out to a server, and then it goes out over the internet and through your provider, so what you're actually seeing is the time it takes to propagate a signal over the internet.
I understand that. No, because I'm confused. A friend of mine works for the phone company. He told me one time that on TV there's a 6-second delay, but he mentioned because it's maybe censorship or what was going over the air live, and maybe I was getting back confused with it.
Broadcast stations will either run 3 or 6 second so that if something is said that they don't want, they can bleep it out. That's intentional. Now, what you're seeing in there is basically, you know, in an ideal world, it would be almost instantaneous. But when you're sending something over the internet where you're streaming audio, I mean, each network has congestion. There's delays. And you're taking the analog audio. It's got to go out. It's got to go out to a server. And, you know, it goes all over the place. If you do a trace route, you'll see that it probably goes through, you know, half a dozen to a dozen servers before it comes to your PC.
Thank you. I was confused about that. Thanks very much. You cleared that up.
There's a lot on there. You'll find that the feed, especially the New York and New Jersey ones, they kind of change and don't always believe what they're labeled. I mean, if you listen, but Bergen County is up there sometimes, and New York is up there, and higher, and if there's ever any big events, you know, locally, the person that runs that, I know he will put that stuff up there live. So it's an interesting site that was put together, and it's constantly growing.
Check it out, nonflux.com. Thank you very much. You have a good evening and 7-2.
Okay, see you. Okay, with that, we're going to close the net this evening. I want to thank everybody for checking in. And we hope to see you here next week. If you have any questions or if anybody wants any of the files for the 996 or any of the Butel files. I think actually any of those files can be read by older programs. Drop us a line to nydxa@yahoo.com. I've been checking the email and no one checked in on the email here this evening during the net. So I got away easy. But nevertheless, I'll be happy to send those out, get the email. Charlie and I check that email. We try once a day. I can't always promise, but if you have anything that comes up, if you know, hear of a plane crash or something frequency that's interesting, if you drop it on there, chances are we can take it, and then we would send that out over the mailing list that we have. So if you receive an email, you know, check the frequency. We try to use that as kind of a notification system, not in real time, but we've been known to come up with some interesting frequencies. 7-3, and I also like to take the opportunity to thank the folks that run this great system with all its repeaters for allowing us to use it each week. Call me late to XQQ, 7-3. See you all next week.